Lord, we bless you for this moment. This time you have prepared for us, Lord. May be it your glory, O Lord God. May the Spirit speak what we need to hear, O Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Yeah. You know, this morning we talked about hospitality. I remember years ago when I was here more than once, I enjoyed hospitality at Brother Bruce's home and Brother Bill's home, and I remember Brother Link. I do not know whether I was in their home or not, but he was very friendly and spoke very kind words. You know, as you all know, the Bible calls the church as the family of God. There's a Jewish lady I know in Middleton, near Boston, where I go to a senior center, and the Jewish lady. So when I tell her that I am reading about your ancestors, etc., she doesn't want to hear about Christ. She will say, that's for you. She will say. Anyway, well, she was telling me in a conversation that, Joseph, we are all, when I talked about Abraham, how special they are, etc., she said, Joseph, we are all from Noah. We are all Noah's children. So we are all one family. She said that, you know. So to know humanity that way is a big, big discovery. We are one family. So all over the world, there is so much fighting. In Ukraine, even now, those of you who know better may know, was there any time when there was no war? I don't know. See, between Pakistan and India, they are one people, they are forever at war. There is not one sane voice anywhere. When we read the Gospels, I very often feel, though I have read it from childhood, I very often feel, did ever anyone speak like Jesus did? There are many religions, you know, many religions and many good things spoken philosophically, you know. But who ever spoke from God? Oh, so directly, almost every word Jesus spoke gives us light and understanding about God. And the heart of the understanding about God is love. And one who has grasped that love doesn't need to know a lot of theology. All theology is compressed for us, for daily life, to walk in daily life. I have known several people, both in India and here, in the church, people who are just love, just as if they are an incarnation of love. They don't get angry. My wife was one like that, you know. We lived together 40 years. I never saw her getting angry or saying an unkind word about anyone. There are people like that. I am very thankful for every one of you whom I have known over the years. The love I have enjoyed. when I come here. I did not expect that I will come. But it so happened that I came here. And those of you, there is a poem somewhere which says, I never knew. You may know that, right? Yeah. If my memory is correct, that is about a husband writing about a wife who passed away. And he was sorry for, you know. So, the whole secret of life for all of us is to know love, to know God's love, and we love one another. Though we are not important politically, it is quite possible. You may run into someone, and you can speak a sane word, you know. So, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you know. So, at least in our homes, you know, it can be that way. I have known folks in the homes in the church also who has broken down by disharmony, you know. It breaks your heart to see that, you know. to summarize what I have on my heart, if you can turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Did anyone find first chapter, John chapter 4? Yes. Yeah. Who is a good reader? If you can read, it would be better than me reading. It is starting from verse... not verse 1. Give me a second. Yeah, verse 7. From verse 7 up to verse 21. If we can read slowly and listen closely.
A woman from Samaria came.
That's why I said listen closely.
Beloved, let us love one another.
Yeah.
For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. And knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Yeah.
In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world.
Chapter 21.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen.
Yeah.
And this commandment we have from him.
Yeah.
Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Yeah. Look at that verse 12. We will just pick up a few verses. No man hath seen God anytime. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. About that verse 12, I want to tell you something. It says, no one has seen God. The disciples once asked Jesus, show us the Father, remember? In Matthew chapter 5, we read that, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, it is written, we will see God. See, the desire to see God is part of us. But blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. It is this love, when we are born again, as by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is that Jesus is born in us. And when Jesus is born in us, we will have the, if I may say, the modern term of DNA. We have the DNA of love. We want love. We want love. It is as if we cannot help loving. It is such people who shall see God. See, our destiny is not only to go to heaven, but we will see God. That's written in the last chapter of Revelation. You know, this life into which we are called, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to love one another. Jesus said in one place that the kingdom of God is within you. See, when we walk into our home, husband and wife and children, that is to be a little heaven. It is to be a little Eden. But that is possible because Christ is born in us. The scriptures put it in different ways so that we can have joy in receiving this word. If you want to go to one verse, remember, this is a verse which I always like to remember. So, without losing the page, 1 John chapter 4, I will read one verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 5. You don't have to turn to that. I will just read that. But it is good for us to not to forget that verse. First Romans chapter 5, verse 5. See. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. See, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. So when we say we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are saying, I am filled with God's love. God has filled me with his love. I pray that we will remember that about us personally. Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me with your love. And we say, pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that every day. Pray with me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. We are actually praying, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your love. It is good for every husband to pray that. It's good for every wife to pray that. Then love becomes you may say, natural for us, habitual for us. It is not forced. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, 44. Yes. I will just touch a few verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. When I am speaking, the nature of our subject, if any one of you want to comment in between, you are most welcome. From your personal life or from enlightenment you get from God's word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. You may read from verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, love them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, again, if that is so, when we are born again as God's children, that is what the blessing upon us. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. If we can love our enemies, it becomes easy to love everyone, is it not so? There is no minus there, it's all pluses. You know, it's just love. See, when Jesus taught that we should turn the other cheek, that's what's implied, you know, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But ye therefore, take close note of that verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, without debating what is meant by perfect, just believing what Jesus said, there is a perfection which Jesus meant by that, whatever that is. Lord, I want to inherit that. And Jesus is making it very simple. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. See, for love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. This English clergyman who lived about 300 years ago, William Law, wrote somewhere, his writings are good to read if you have time to read. See, he wrote that there is nothing you can do to love another person better than praying. There is nothing you can do for another person better than praying for, which means prayer is something very special. Praying for another person is something very special. It's a matter of the heart. It changes us, so to speak. especially when we pray for those who do not love us particularly. There are strife in the families from the very first family, Adam and Eve, Abel and Cain. There was murder. It has been so ever since, you know. Jesus himself said, a man's enemy shall be his household. So we should know that we have that flesh. We may have that tendency not to love. We may have that tendency. And then we should remember Jesus' words. If there is a family member, extended family, who speaks ill of me or unkindly of me, or a Christian denomination, somebody in the other Christian denomination who speaks critically of me, it all comes under this umbrella. Pray for. Do you like that, dear ones? It may transform you more quickly than you think for God's glory. It will give you a family life which you did not imagine before. Many families are in disharmony. It can happen to any one of us. We cannot be too careful about that. Love your enemies. Pray for them. They despitefully use you. Above all, God will make you a blessing for everyone. Wherever you go. Wherever you go, even if you don't speak anything. It was Francis of Assisi who said, I remember that from time to time. Francis of Assisi who said, speak the gospel always. And preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. Have you heard that? See how he compressed it? Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. In other words, you are the gospel, the testimony, the role model. Your mannerism becomes, your reactions become gospel preaching. I'm sure you have met people like that. I have. Let me see whether I should read any more. We will quickly read a few other verses. John's Gospel, chapter 13. See? Oh, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. See, one word, so I don't forget. When we read the word, whether here now or later at home, if we read with, we all read with a certain love for God's word at the same time. Lord, I want to inherit this. It is quite possible that though I have obeyed it before, there may be a higher step to which to go. We don't want to miss that. That is like going into the promised land, taking possession by faith, especially if it is a situation where I have to take up my cross. So rejoice that we are called this way, dear ones. See, it is written of Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. See, These are the last moments of Jesus. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We don't know whether we have tomorrow, especially older people like me, you know. It is good to set our heart to love, regardless of how old you are. Loved them unto the end. One other verse in chapter 15 of John. Chapter 15 of John. So very close to that, chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. Praise God, praise God. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, take note of that. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. In the Old Testament, it was taught that we should love one another as yourself. But here it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then the next verse, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Remember, you want to remember that verse? Any opportunity we have, even more small sacrifices, it is the gift of God. There is, some of you may know this, there is a book called Tale of Two Cities. Have you heard that? There is an illustration of this, in that a man actually dying in that for his friend. Two people looked alike and he went into the jail deceiving that. And he let his friend escape and he went in for the sake of a friend lady they had. It's a book worth reading. I read it a long time ago in my college days as part of my study. So there are cases like that. God may give us opportunity to lay down our lives. David cried and prayed when Absalom, his son, was killed. Oh, my son, I wish I died for you. Remember that? And fathers will have that kind of heart. Mothers, even more so. That is the one other illustration to learn from. If you want to learn about love in kindergarten, first grade, it is good to start with mothers. How mothers love their little sacrifice for their children. So we all have experience. I had a grandmother, my mother's mother. She actually raised me, I think, you know. So though I had my mother, it was my grandmother who took time for me and walked with me to the kindergarten and came back to pick me up, etc. So mothers really sacrifice their love for us. That is why in the Ten Commandments, God said, honor your father and mother so that you will live long. Thank you, Lord. So we have such good things to learn, such good things to learn and inherit to turn our earthly life into heavenly life. We want to believe that. Lord, I want to love my mother and father, honor my father and mother like this. I want to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Lord, help me, help me, help me. That should become my prayer. Let me see. Now, I would not read this, but you can kindly look it up yourself. For John's Gospel, chapter 17, is a long prayer of Jesus. He prayed at the end of his life. And it is pure love all over, every word, you know. John's Gospel, chapter 17, it's a prayer. Then the experience of the early church, if you want to note down and look it up, the experience of the early church, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 2, verse 22. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. I just read that to you. Those of you who are young especially can. Last word for the young people. I have been encouraging my children and some other young people in Fairborn. You may like that. Young people, all of you who are younger than maybe 20 or plus or minus, I hope you will like what I'm going to say. Every one of you, take your go to your laptop or a piece of paper, write. Pray and write down, Lord, what is the vision of my life? Listen, what is the vision of my life? Nobody told me that when I was young, so I did not have a chance. But though I am old, I have written that now. I have written it down just for me, and I may show it to my children. You see, what is the vision for my life? What is God's vision for my life? Please listen. What is God's vision for my life? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever written it down? One page. Paul wrote that down in Romans, in Acts chapter 20. None of these things move me. Remember that? None of these things. He wrote that. There's a whole chapter where he preached to the Ephesian believers. See, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. See, I might finish my course with joy. That this morning, Brother Bruce mentioned about being joyful, you know. To finish my course with joy, it depends on how I run my course. See, when we get up in the morning, sometimes we feel lazy to get up, right? Whereas those are the moments to give God the first fruits of our time. Even if it's a struggle, get up and say, take 1 minute to thank God for giving you life for another day. The day will go very well. Because when first fruits are offered, the principle of the first fruit is, once the first fruit is given, it is as if the whole is given. Or the whole is holy for God. None of these things move me. The Holy Ghost said that persecutions are waiting for him. And the fellow believers encouraged him not to go into danger and started crying. Then he said, don't break my heart by crying. I am ready to die for the Lord Jesus. This was the kind of prayer he had in his heart. You may know this. Yeah, let me finish that. Take half an hour to write down your goal, your vision which God is giving you. Perhaps it will make your purpose of your life clearer. There is a book, I have not read that, The Purpose-Driven Life. I have not read that. So it is good to write it down for yourself for one page. Oh dear, as I said, though I am very old, I wrote it down for me. Now, what was the last thing I wanted to say? That's all. Lord, I want to thank you with all my heart for the time I had to share with my brothers and sisters, especially the young people. Lord, may the Holy Spirit inspire them to have a vision for their life, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the love of God, to be filled with the love of God for their family, for their friends, that they will know that the life can be joyful if we live a life of love as you lived, O Lord God, because that is your very nature. God is love. It is written twice in one chapter, 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the love these dear ones have for me over the years, Lord. Thank you for Brother Bruce and Brother and Brother Bill, Lord, every dear one here, oh God, who have loved me deeply, Lord Jesus. Until you come, oh Lord Jesus, help us to pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please pray for me, dear ones. I keep praying, Lord. I want to be ready whenever you call me. So I pray that I will be ready for the Lord's coming, and I will be ready to go when the Lord comes. And I want to dedicate my life for prayer. When you are older, that's what you are supposed to do. God bless you. God bless you.